Howdy, y'all. It's Bree Bagwell, and I know y'all support the people who support me, so let me tell you about Deep Ellum Brewing Company. Born and raised in Deep Ellum, Texas, Deep Ellum Brewing Company has really made its mark on the beer world. Known for its flagships, Dallas Blonde and Deep Ellum IPA, they put boring beers to shame with a full lineup that's unapologetically not brewed to style. My personal favorite is the Dallas Blonde. It is so easy to drink. I just took it home for the holidays, and my whole family was like obsessed with this beer. No joke. They drank it all. Thanks a lot, family. So head over to deepellumbrewing.com to open the beer vault and give your fridge what it deserves. And you'll see why love runs deep for Deep Ellum Brewing Company. Available in Texas and Oklahoma, side effects may include severe happiness. Deep Ellum Brewing Company products are for individuals 21 and older, and we encourage drinking responsibly.
Hey, hey, everybody. This is Bree Bagwell, and this is my podcast, Only Vans, where I talk to my friends in my van.
Hey, this is Bree Bagwell with the Only Vans podcast. Here is my year-end statement or wish, or maybe more like me asking for a Christmas miracle. Who knows? This isn't a complete complaint or rant, don't worry, but it is a little bit of it. It's also me trying to sort out my own thoughts and observations from the year, so take it with a grain of salt or a glass of whiskey. I think if you truly want to know what it's actually like in the music biz for someone like me, you have to go to someone at the source. I am a source. Not the only source, of course. I would sing it on a horse. I would sing it with some force. What am I saying? I'm saying that I've traveled and played in at least 17 states this year alone, with many different artists from small to giant. I've done it full time in this scene since 2010. I live with a musician and singer-songwriter that has been on the Opry and toured with the likes of Luke Combs and Midland this year. I have over 1 million friends, okay, not exactly, but I have a ton of friends doing what I do, and that's music, full time. A lot of them in Texas, Nashville, and new ones beyond my longtime bubble. I do dinner once a month with 4 other incredibly successful musicians, producers, and full-time industry couples. I also have a podcast called Only Vans, where I've talked to musicians about their current lives on and off the podcast mic. I'm just saying that I think my opinions are worth something and are well researched, whether you agree with them or not. So I can safely say that for a lot of us, things are weird right now in the music world. I'm not sure why, but in response to my how are you or how are things, I've heard this statement, it's just weird right now, more than I can count. Things are weird, man. To which I say, right? I can't explain it or quite put my finger on it, but I believe it's a blend of the economy, the tension, live music never really recovering from COVID, social media making music and artists accessible 24/7, the clutter, the monetary barriers to entry. We've all been through a really polarizing time in America especially, and I think the polarization extends well beyond politics. I'm not saying that small and giant artists hate each other. That's 1,000% not the case. I'm just saying that the weirdness seems to have especially affected mid-level artists and venues. The people that have worked their whole impressively long and strenuous careers to gain some sort of notoriety. These artists that are still shy of playing in stadiums and arenas, but have built a loyal fan base and amazing listening rooms. We're all kind of looking at each other like, where do we belong or fit in? It didn't seem like it was ever this hard, this unpredictable, this much of a roller coaster, or this weird. These independent artists like me that don't have a label or may not have management, we're not even sure where to go or what to do because the payoff for the grind is, well, not paying off anymore. Do we play less to make ourselves more valuable? Sure, that would be nice, but we depend on year-round touring, not because we enjoy killing ourselves, believe it or not, but out of necessity to pay our bills or our employees who depend on us. But it's no longer working, or at least it's not working how it used to. We have to adjust and pivot, like all businesses do, and we're doing our best, all while making Instagram reels in our 30s, because we hope one day it turns into a body in a seat, a Spotify stream, or a t-shirt sale. There's no way to track if it ever turns into a dollar, so it can feel like another full-time job that we don't necessarily love doing with no guarantee of a payoff. But you signed up for this, they say, and I get that to a point. But in 2010, I absolutely did not sign up to do dance moves on TikTok, and I will not give in unless there's the dollar sign and like more than 3 digits, then I'll consider it. Do you tell your dentist why the hell aren't you making more TikToks? Or your accountant, why aren't you lip-syncing on Instagram, Brad? That's how all the other accountants got famous. I digress. I'm just saying we're trying and we're exhausted and we don't know what's important and what is not important and we still need to write songs before we lose all fervor for the thing that we love that has almost been overshadowed by all the things that we don't love. Not to mention, we're making less when everything has gotten more expensive, including recording and printing things like vinyls and koozies and t-shirts. Koozies used to be like a dollar, y'all. Ah, the good old days. I'm speaking for the confusion of a lot of venues that sell higher tickets, ticket sales pre-COVID, and have seen a sharp decline in regular sales despite more marketing and effort. They can't offer the deals and money to artists that were once our bread and butter, and understandably so, we are back to playing more door deals than we have seen in a decade. The never-ending weight of ticket sales year-round on smaller venues and artists gets too heavy for me to talk about without crying. Oh no. But we do it, because there are those of you out there who see it happening and buy a ticket and come to shows, and multiple shows. You join our fan clubs when groceries are expensive. You buy and wear our t-shirts and spread word about independent music like it's your job. You see that it matters and you push for us. We feel it and we are so thankful. You matter to us so much. It takes an army to keep us fighting. When I was in college and beyond, I used to see people and myself go to every Texas Country Night or Hills Cafe Wednesday or Red Dirt First Friday. Everyone just did it. Texas music and Red Dirt seemed to be a thing that happened regardless of popularity, and it was fun, and you could make fans recurring and new by having a great band and putting in the hard work to create fun live shows. Don't get me wrong, the music business has always been messy. It wasn't always A plus B equals C, but it felt more linear and less like, who freaking knows anymore, which is exactly what a Nashville manager said to me recently. The booking agencies and management companies are so concentrated now that if you are not a part of one, you don't have a chance at a spot you may deserve on a show or a festival. I'm so thankful for my agents, and I always have been, and I for sure benefit from being on a good roster, but it's harder than ever to cut through, and I have so many friends that deserve a good booking agent to fight for them and can't get one. I see you, and trust me, friend, it's not for lack of try or talent. On Kyle Park's Only Vans episode, which will air next year, he tells me that there are 100,000 songs uploaded to Spotify every single day. 100,000 every single day. It takes more money, content, and luck to cut through that kind of clutter, and it's really lightning in a bottle for someone to quote-unquote make it via TikTok or some sort of viral moment. I'm not mad when someone hits virally, like really, good for them. I wish that happened for me and all of my friends. And here we are creating music, touring full-time, and creating content in the hopes that that same lightning will strike us, all while feeling less than good enough every time we open our Instagram feed. Instagram knows how bad I want to play the Opry and shows me everyone's Opry debut the second I open the app. Today, I believe more than ever that people will save up and spend a ton of money to go to, just as an example, Zach Bryan in Vegas rather than frequenting their local honky-tonk or venue more often. Before you dash to hit pause and write in the emails, I'm not saying that's wrong. That is amazing and fun, and I love Vegas, and if I had a steady paycheck, I would save and do the same for the Shania show. I'm just saying that I think everything from Christmas decorations, baby showers, and I don't know, live music is infinitely more valuable when they are over the top for the gram, baby. What's hip on TikTok right now is what gets money, and you should start a TikTok, the cool ones tell me. I have one. I had a video go viral. I'm still waiting for my record deal. Anyway, those of us that are too accessible to the public, don't have a booming viral moment, and aren't doing what is super glamorous are having to find ways to compete. Is it cool to go to a small listening room where it's dark and cry over your favorite songwriter that isn't world famous? I think that's the coolest. We got to find a way to make that go viral. Send any and all ideas to my Instagram DMs. Just kidding. I can't keep up with those. Side note about DMs and messages. I got accused of trying to break up a marriage because there are 20 new fake Brie Bagwell TikToks alone created every single day. And fake Brie Bagwell is on a tear, y'all. That's just one platform, and I'm just one artist. That's insane. Friends of mine bought t-shirts fake me was selling on Facebook. I wish all the money that fake Brie Bagwells are making was real money that I was making. I get messages every day about fake me's, sad stories about friends getting scammed on early tickets, you name it. Another full-time job is keeping up with the ruckus fake me is always causing. I can't even keep up with the real me. Last thing, I wrote down 5 things I heard my friends say in the past month. I'm tired of asking people for money in this economy. I used to bank on Black Friday. I sold nothing. I don't know what matters anymore. Why does it feel twice as hard as it's ever been? I can't find players or crew or keep any band members. I used to have people lined up for every job. It's impossible these days to find people to go on the road. There are a lot of us indies out there doing what we do best, and that's being scrappy. We're still playing the shows that we love. It's just getting harder for us to do so. I'm not saying I'm quitting or anyone else is, but maybe, just maybe, consider making 2025 the year of trying to support a small or mid-level artist or venue you love once a month. It could really make a difference if a lot of people became intentional towards someone or somewhere you think is deserving. Set a reminder to stream their album. That's mostly free. Join their Patreon, subscribe to a venue newsletter, move your date night to a listening room once in a while. And duh, you can still support that giant artist, of course. They're paving the way for us, and they have been in our shoes and provide us so much inspiration. If you're still listening to this, thank you. I just don't want the middle level of music to disappear, and I'm honestly really worried about that. We choose this life because we love music, and we have to remind ourselves all the time of that. So when you remind us, we love you for it, and it gets deposited into our soul piggy bank that we draw from when the well is dry. See you next year, y'all, and thank you so much to the Bluegrass Situation Podcast Network for picking up our project. Producer Kyle, you're the real MVP. Happy holidays.